This is the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. I'm Melissa Griffin, Executive Director here at the Arts Center. In this podcast, we will discuss how art and life blend. Today, we're talking to sociology professor and yoga instructor Mark Settembrino. We'll be discussing the impacts of social distancing, as well as stress and how to deal with it. So, Mark, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's great to be here.
I want to just kind of jump into some things. Give us just kind of an overview of how yoga helps your mind and your body.
Yeah, I think maybe a good place to begin, too, is to think about what is yoga.
Okay, that's a good one.
Because especially in the U.S., when we hear the word yoga, we immediately move to like this physical set of exercises and physical postures, making silly shapes with your body. And yoga has a much broader and richer tradition. And so it's important to understand that yoga is a philosophical system that comes from what we now call India. So it's an ancient tradition that involves many aspects. So part of it is a physical practice, but for the most part, yoga is actually a mental practice. And in the beginning of those Yoga Sutras, Patanjali tells us, yoga citta vritti nirodaha.
Wow.
Which, yeah, that's Sanskrit, which means yoga is the stilling of the mind or the cessation of the churnings of the mind. The practice of yoga itself, whether you're practicing physical asana, the postures, that can have many physical benefits in terms of thinking about just strengthening the body, improving balance. As I age and other folks age, it becomes more important to be able to like get up and down from the floor. I don't know if anybody
sure.
has like young ones in their life. And sometimes sitting on the floor playing with the kids can be difficult, right?
Yes,
and
it
so
can.
One of the benefits that comes from practicing yoga is some of that ability to get up and down from the floor.
So I used to do yoga quite a bit. I took a class when I was in college and just kind of kept with it for a really long time. And then I stopped and I had a baby and everything sort of changes after that. But I notice now if I pick it back up again, I do it regularly, my lower back and my core are so engaged all the time that I feel so much better. And, you know, even if I just take a few minutes to stretch a little bit while my son, who's now 4, is playing or something like that, if I can just take a few minutes to kind of hone in on some of that core work, I feel so much better. And I haven't had back issues in a long time when I realized, hey, this is going to benefit me. So thank you so much for giving us some of that history and that background about yoga. So let's talk about stress. You alluded to the ideas of, you know, softening the mind and kind of honing in on the self rather than the inbox and all the to-do lists. I'm a to-do list kind of person, so I can benefit from that. And it's safe to say now in the world that we live in today that everyone is dealing with some kind of major stress. Even children aren't immune to the stresses that COVID-19 have brought into our lives. So generally speaking, in your opinion, how important do you think exercise in general is right now?
Yeah, well, let's just take a moment to really acknowledge how unprecedented, and I know that's cliche, but mm-hmm. really how unprecedented the last year has been in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic, having 4 named storms make landfall in Louisiana, the political strife that we've been through, and that's just naming a few things
a
that
few.
Have happened in the last year,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we really are living in this period of uncertainty that I don't think that anyone alive right now has ever had to live through in the United States, right? Certainly
sure.
in other parts of the world, life has presented challenges. But for us in the United States, where we're sort of used to being able to go to the grocery store and just buy whatever we want, right?
Right.
And so about a year ago, trying to find toilet paper was really hard, right? And so there are all of these massive shifts to the way that we live our life that is important to acknowledge because it's okay if you're feeling some kind of way about that, right? Like mm-hmm. people have lost friends and family members. People have had to delay and postpone weddings and graduations and all of these really important things in our lives. And so grief is something that a lot of folks may be experiencing along with trauma and sadness. And so there's a lot of things happening emotionally. Mm-hmm. And our yoga practice can give us some space for that, right? Taking that time, whether it's through practicing yoga asana or meditation, right, is often just as beneficial as doing 20 sun salutations.
Right.
And if our goal is always to get back to a space of allowing the mind to still and to get back to our true self, that really takes us away from those moments of stress, because it can feel like it's just one thing after another, right? Because along with this really difficult year that we've been through, people have also had to live their lives, right? You've had to raise your kids. You've had to homeschool, distance learning. You've had to figure out how you're going to get the food to feed your family. So it's been a really difficult time.
It has, even in business, that we use the term here a lot, pivot, because there have been so many. It's been become a joke from the Friends show, pivot. And it's because there's been so many opportunities that we thought we were going to get, and we just had to change direction, mm-hmm. like in the split second, we're going a different way.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's every aspect of your life, mm-hmm. your business life, your home life, your school life, the whole thing. Yeah. So I appreciate how you're bringing to light some of these aspects that maybe we're not thinking about all the time, and relating them back to how we can use a physical or a mental practice to be able to kind of settle some of that and help ourselves deal and cope and pivot in all of these things. You're a yoga instructor, but you're also a sociology professor at a university. And just briefly, sociology mm-hmm. is the study of society and social interaction. So I wanted to talk to you and ask you what you think the long-term impacts of social distancing will be on us.
That's a really great question. My area of expertise in sociology is the study of disasters. And so I've actually been involved internationally since the pandemic began to study the effects of COVID-19 on our society right now. But it's important to think about the long-term effects as well, right? And I mm-hmm. think that even though we're in a place right now where it seems like the immediacy of the crisis that we're in seems to be waning, that in terms of our economic structures, our political structures, our family structures, we're going to be feeling the effects of this pandemic for many years to come. When we first moved into shutdown last year, I told my students that the world has changed and will never be the same again, right? For all of us alive right now, we're always going to have this memory of this time in the same way that 9/11 really
yeah.
changed the way that we think about ourselves and the world. And I think one of the things that's been really difficult for folks throughout this period is that it is a threat that is invisible to us. And so we can't see it. And in criminology, there's a theory of deterrence that says that the only way you can really prevent somebody from doing something is if they know that the consequences are going to be swift, severe, and certain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about this invisible threat that you may or may not get, and if you do get it, it may not be that bad for you. And so as human beings, we're going to maybe push the boundaries a little bit.
Yes.
And one of the things that we've been asked to do is to socially distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that social distancing really has two parts to it. One is the physical distancing. And so this is a podcast. People can't see us right now, but we are spaced out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in a really large room and there's at least 6 feet between us, right? And so that's this physical distancing space of when you're in public, making sure that you are away from others, because that's going to protect you from this invisible threat. But there's also that social distancing aspect as well, which means that you probably don't get to see all of the people in your life that you might be used to seeing. So I'm currently telecommuting. I haven't seen my colleagues. I haven't seen my students since March of last year, right? That's Wow. really hard, not being able to physically see and connect with people. If you are going to be socializing with people outside of your household, knowing that those folks have either been isolating themselves or have been following protocols that you're comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. And so certainly, I think one of the biggest disruptions to our lives has just been, as human beings, not getting able to have that social interaction that we're so used to. I live alone, so that's been hard, right? I think we haven't really given a lot of attention to folks who live alone and have had to really navigate this process of suddenly not having interaction in your life beyond, like, I talk to my cats or right. I go to the grocery store and maybe get to make small talk with the cashier.
Right. You spend too much time at the cashier just yeah. for a little extra interaction.
And so, you know, one of the midterm consequences is just, you know, needing to exercise that awareness and, you know, really thinking about the relationships that are most meaningful mm-hmm. for you and how to continue to cultivate those. I know personally, I'm ready to have a pool party. I'm ready. Like, I bought a house last year and I didn't even get to have a housewarming party.
Oh,
right.
No.
You know,
right.
And so like I'm ready to do those things. But I know that it's just going to take a little bit of time to
Absolutely.
Get there.
So I heard someone speaking recently about how he felt like we shouldn't refer to it as social distancing, mm-hmm. but rather physical distancing. And you alluded to that a little mm-hmm. bit. Because he says physical distancing mm-hmm. emphasizes that need for physical space. And on a mm-hmm. psychological level, that doesn't make people feel like they're supposed to disconnect mm-hmm. emotionally from other people. So, you know, are you feeling like your students, for instance, who I know you see mm-hmm. through the internet, your friends, your family, even mm-hmm. yourself, are just, you're just struggling through that? Or do you feel like people are figuring out how to make that work for themselves?
I don't have any like research that I could point to and sort of speak from a place of generalizability, right? Mm-hmm. But I do know that human beings in general are extremely like smart, creative, and resilient beings. And so people find ways to make connection. And so in my own life, I've actually been able to reconnect with people that I normally don't have time to connect with because they live somewhere else and mm-hmm. I don't get to see them as often as I see other people or that I, because I spend so many hours like at work in a physical space, right? And I've also had opportunities to connect with people that are new, right? So I've gotten to collaborate internationally with various yoga teachers on different projects. And so for me, that's been really helpful to make those connections
sure.
Beyond just my immediate circle. And certainly there's times of loneliness or wishing that you could just go out to eat. And so I've had to make this choice for me
sure.
to maybe not do some of the things that I get the most enjoyment out of. And that's hard. That's not easy. And it's important to acknowledge that it's
Absolutely.
Hard.
Absolutely. From Louisiana, yeah. it's hard to pass up on good food. Huh?
I know. Yeah, that's been the biggest struggle, right?
And so the world that we live in, thanks to the internet and social media, has made this process probably a lot easier on us than it would have been decades ago when those communication avenues weren't available to us. So you're talking about collaborating with people across the world. That's amazing. That's something that you wouldn't have been able to do had this happened to our parents when they were our ages. You know, this is a different world that we live in. And so I'm grateful for that, even though I probably have this love-hate relationship with social media. Most people probably do. But wow, you know, how different would it be if we lived in the early 1900s rather than the early 2000s? So we just, you know, if we can find any way to connect to people and to combat that discouraging feeling or that disconnection, you know, absolutely. Social media and at the grocery store. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think I tend to be a little nicer to people now than I may have been before. Not that I was a mean person, but I tend to like stop myself and try to look people in the eyes and say hello and things like that. that I might have, you know, just walked past before simply because I am longing for that interaction. I'm sure they are too, you know, and I'm sure they, if they're at their job, like at the grocery store or the gas station, I'm sure they want to be appreciated for mm-hmm. the fact that they're putting themselves out there every day, mm-hmm. you know, in a dangerous situation. So speaking of work, of course, here at the Hammond Regional Arts Center, we work with a lot of artists. And we've talked to some artists in the area, and we've found that some are increasingly inspired by the events of the last year, and some are emotionally discouraged. And so the artists who have been inspired are working now more than ever, and they're producing and creating, but the ones who are discouraged are struggling to do what they do, which is create. And that's a hard place to be when that's your livelihood. So tell me about some of your hobbies, some of the ways that you create, and do you find yourself more engaged, less engaged? Does it kind of come and go for you?
It's been a little bit of both, right?
Me too.
So I think it's important to, in our society, we tend to like look at the extremes, right? And oftentimes for many of us, the experience can be a little bit of both. And so I've certainly had, you know, we have to acknowledge in some ways there's been a little bit more free time available to us mm-hmm. in the pandemic because it's, you know, we're not as busy. Our calendars are not as full sure. as they once were. And so having that extra time and space has been nice because I've been able to engage in research projects that I had started a few years ago, but never really had time to work on. Right.
Sure.
And so in that sense, it's been nice. But it's also been hard, right? There's been periods where I've been quite depressed, right? And that I was missing my family and my friends. My family lives in Florida, so it's not like I can, you know, just go down right. the street and see my mom. And so there have been those hard times for me where I had those times of feeling foggy. Those times where even the idea of practicing yoga didn't sound fun to me, where I just... didn't want to do the things that normally would bring me joy and happiness, right? Mm. You know, I am like a dabbler in art, if you will, but I haven't found as much urge to create in terms of what we would call, you know, art in the traditional sense. But over the summer, I really found myself getting into gardening.
Wonderful.
And in that sense, like that's really a process of creation, right?
Yeah.
And sort of fostering life and sort of connecting, you know, with nature, something that's bigger mm-hmm. than yourself. And so that for me over the summer was really helpful.
There's
right?
something so good about putting your hands in the dirt and yeah. just feeling that connection to nature. We did as well with my son. My husband and I gardened a little bit with my son, and he loved it. And there's just, you know, the sunlight, the vitamin D, and so many minerals that you're exposing yourself to in the dirt. It's all good. So I am not an artist, and I love people's reaction when they hear that because I'm the director of the Art Center. I'm not an artist, but similar to what you were doing, I was finding myself sometimes very engaged and sometimes just kind of like, ugh, no thanks. And I don't, you know, I do it for myself, but I think I've looked back over the course of the last year, I think I've done more what I would call art, even if it's not any good, more art over the last year than I have in a long time, and different kinds of stuff, things that I wouldn't have tried before. So you're right. It does. This time has given us so much more space in different ways, you know, than we would have had before. So what are some of the takeaways that you would like to suggest? I know that everyone's listening, so they can't really see you, but what are some tactical things that people can do, whether they have experience in yoga or not, whether they maybe have different religious beliefs that would make them think, well, maybe that's not for me. What are some just regular, everyday people things that they can do that can help them de-stress and kind of center themselves and feel a little better on an instant?
Yeah. that's a really broad question. There
yes.
are many, many answers there. And so one of the things that you could do is perhaps practicing awareness of the body in any way. So if you're seated right now, right, having both feet just soft on the floor and taking time to notice, what does that feel like? Right? Like really taking time to explore sensation in the body. Sounds really simple, sounds maybe a little bit woo-woo, but just taking that time, right? Like we all spend so much time sitting or lying down or even standing, right? Like, mm-hmm. but we never do it consciously. And so just taking the time to consciously notice, what does it feel like to have both feet on the floor? What does it feel like if you just find a little bit of lift through the spine? What does it feel like if you let your shoulders soften down the back, right? And just doing little exercises like that to bring in those moments of awareness and really get back into the body. Because one of the things is when we're in this pandemic time and we're, you know, focused on social media, or we're maybe reading a lot more or watching more TV, our mind gets really engrossed, but we kind of forget that we have this body.
Absolutely.
And so getting back into the body is helpful. Getting into the breath, placing like one hand on the heart and one hand on the belly and just taking five deep breaths and feeling that sensation can just bring you into the moment in a way that can really be beneficial and give you a moment of peace, a moment of that opportunity of letting the mind settle.
Right. And if you have a smartwatch, it often reminds you to breathe, which I think is so funny, but it's so necessary. I don't know who came up with that, but that was a good idea. Like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing that more consciously with deeper breaths. I will feel better. But I love what you said about kind of feeling where your body is and remembering it, because we spend so much time on our gadgets, which is terrible for our posture and our neck and back. And we forget, okay, if I sit up and I look at things around me, you know, it benefits my body. It benefits my spine. But like you're saying, we tend to like zone in on our phones or even the television. And I've noticed myself just being contorted in these weird shapes that aren't healthy for me. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to contort for yoga and another thing to contort for my phone, which is usually kind of a bent over posture. Yeah.
That's one of the fun things with yoga practices, because it really begins to take our body out of our habitual postures, right? And so that's one of the we can go back to the beginning of the conversations. One of the physical benefits of a yoga practice is that it requires you to move out of your habits, your ways that you normally sit. Like I'm looking at myself now. I've got my like legs kind of awkwardly crossed in this chair and I'm kind of hunching over myself. And it's like, oh, wait, no. If I uncross the feet and I sit up taller, I feel a little bit better in this moment. And our yoga practice, when we're in the physical practice of yoga, at times it's challenging, right? It's not easy at all. And taking time to practice being in a challenge, to be under stress, and also knowing that you're okay, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a real practice that helps you to move through uncertainty in ways with a little bit more grace, perhaps.
Absolutely. And strength in areas of your body that you didn't know needed to be strengthened. Because, you know, we think of working out, we think of our legs, we think of our arms, and there's so much in between there that needs, you know, some exercise and strengthening. So as we said before, you're a yoga instructor, the creator of Fat Kid Yoga Club, which is a supportive yoga community for people in larger bodies to explore joyful movement and celebrate what's possible for their bodies. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I've always been a fat kid. My entire life, I've been the fat kid. And movement for me was always something that was sort of presented as like punishment for being a fat kid, right? So like gym teachers telling me I needed to lose weight and doctors and parents. And it was always presented to me as like I needed to do movement because my body was wrong. And that always sort of set up a really negative experience for me and movement.
Sure.
And when I began practicing yoga, I began practicing yoga because my life was in shambles. My dad had died. Both of my grandfathers died in the same year. Work was stressing me out. And so I went to yoga to get a little stress relief, right? To create a little bit more space for myself. And in that process, I had to get back in touch with my body. And as a professor, as somebody who's earning a PhD, you spend all of this time growing your mind and learning how to hunch over a computer.
Right.
And yoga challenged me to move away from that. And it was hard, right? I instantly got a lot of negative self-talk of saying, this is not for you. If you hadn't let your body get to this place, this would be easier. And I really had to do a lot of work internally on my mat to say, no, I deserve to be in this room. I deserve this practice, right? And it doesn't matter if I can't do a downward dog right now. I'm here, I'm doing my practice, and maybe next week I can do downward dog. I might not ever be able to do downward dog, right?
Right.
And just knowing that it's not about that end goal, but the practice of being there and in that space. And so I created Fat Kid Yoga Club for other folks like me, mm-hmm. people who have maybe always been in a larger body or who are in a larger body now, but want to have access to yoga, to physical movement, without feeling the pressure of changing their body.
I love that about yoga. I love that you don't have to be able to put your foot behind your head in order to engage in yoga. And I feel that same way about art. I feel like, and there wasn't a moment in time in my life where I had a negative experience like you had, you know, with the physical activity. But there was a course of things that happened where I thought, I can't do art. I can't draw. But no one ever really taught me either. And I never spent that time as a kid, like you're saying, where you just spend that time to make this happen for yourself. And your end goal is just improvement. And so I love that you're inspiring people to do yoga and to feel better about their bodies and feel better inside of their bodies. And I hope that the Hayman Regional Arts Center is inspiring and motivating people to just try, you know, try art, try yoga, try gardening, whatever it is.
You have to allow yourself to be bad at it. That's one of the things I tell folks.
Absolutely.
Like when you're just starting yoga, when you're starting anything, you have to allow yourself to be bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I started practicing yoga after my dad died and I was going through this grief, I started with watercolors, just like making pretty colors and shapes on paper, right?
Nice.
Like,
yeah.
And just allowing myself to be in that moment, right? So in art, you have to allow yourself to be bad at art before you can be really good at it. And
absolutely.
The same thing with anything in life, right? If you try something and you're really bad at it and you just quit, you're never going to get better. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to like suffer through something that you're really bad at and you're
you
not
hate.
Interested in, right? Like there's a difference between being like a kid and your mom's making you learn piano,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or math.
Yeah, or
something.
Math, right? So just allowing yourself to be bad at it and just taking that time to even be bad at it. Like, have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone can go to your website, marksedembrino.com, and find out more about your work, as well as fatkidyogaclub.com to learn more about your yoga offerings. I love your homepage on your website, by the way. It's a picture of you upside down. It says, hi, I'm Mark. It just made me giggle. That was so cool. I wanted to ask you if you have any favorite quotes that you wanted to leave us with, or any last words?
Oh, goodness. That's like the hardest question that you've asked me.
I know.
This entire interview. I would just say is, going back to what we were just talking about, allow yourself to be bad at it, right? And I think that's really good advice for everything, because I think we have really high expectations and standards for ourselves as parents, as workers, as friends, as children. And, you know, we all want to do the best and approach everyone with kindness. But sometimes we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're not showing up as the best person as, you know, we might like to show up as. And so I think it's important for us to acknowledge when we didn't show up in the world, perhaps as we would have liked to be able to show up. And that doesn't mean that you get like this pass and you can continue to be like, you know, a grumpy person or anything like that. But just acknowledging when you're not doing so good at something, and then thinking about, how do I do better? Right.
Or can you ask for help?
Can ask for help. That, mm-hmm. I think that's really important. Ask for help, especially during this time that we're in.
As grownups, we forget that. You know, we forget that that's an option, and that's the advice that we would give kids, right?
Yeah.
Why do we stop?
Yeah, you're supposed to have all the answers.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, one of my favorite quotes is, dancing makes everything better. And that's something my grandmother used to say all the time. Even after she lived for many years with Alzheimer's, she would still repeat that, which I think proves that she had that like in her core. She really believed it. So let's take away from this moment in time that we spent with Mark Settembrino. Remember to breathe. Remember to feel our bodies and, you know, acknowledge our bodies. Remember to let yourself be bad at something every now and then. And let's go out and dance because it makes everything better. Thank you so much for being with us, Mark. We really appreciate your time. I'm Melissa Griffin. This has been the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. Thank you for joining us and have a creative day.